Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night, and good luck.
Hey, folks. What happens to your life when $10 million is hanging over your head? When a group of lawyers paid for by either mysterious billionaires or the Trump campaign or some MAGA source of revenue has an unlimited budget to go after you for a year and a half over two incredibly spurious allegations of defamation? Well, the elephant in the room tonight is me. So, spent the last year and a half fighting with Mike Flynn, as some of you have heard and some of you have read about. Yesterday, the Florida Second District Court of Appeal rejected Mike Flynn's appeal of his original loss to us in court. And while this story is a little bit about me, it's actually about a much broader scenario that's happening, because just like everything in MAGA world, everything is projection. Oh, lawfare projection, weaponized government projection. Pizzagate, pedophiles, projection, criminals, projection, wanting to use the government to punish your enemies, projection. And one of the things we've heard over and over again is that Mike Flynn and Kash Patel and these guys who all use one company called the Binnall Law Firm, it's B-I-N-N-A-L-L, not B-A-N-A-L, which would be hilarious if it were, they all use this one law firm, and they specialize in going after folks who are critical of Trump or Flynn or others. I am, of course, one of those folks who's critical of them. So, about a year and a half ago, we get sued for two things. One, I referred to Mike Flynn during his, what I call, Vlad washing of the Ukraine invasion. I referred him as a Putin employee. It's a Putin employee, Mike Flynn, on Twitter. I based that on not only the rhetoric of the moment, but on, you know, the long history that RT, the Soviet, excuse me, I always say that. That's funny. The Russian propaganda channel that is a wholly controlled element of the Russian government, as the State Department and the CIA have both asserted. Flynn went there as their guest, paid $45,000 to go and sit next to Vladimir Putin in a cozy lunch. I think he went to Yesenevo, the GRU headquarters. I believe I read that. But long story short, he was fired for lying to the FBI in part about Russia. Trump himself fired him. Trump tweeted, he lied to the vice president and the FBI. I had to let him go. Now, this was absurd, of course. It's a trivial allegation. The second thing, and folks, if you're on social media, I want you to process what this would mean if it had succeeded. I retweeted a guy named Jim Stewartson who, among other things, in a tweet asserted that Michael Flynn was Q of QAnon. Now, believe me, if all of you listening to this now think about that moment where suddenly you live in a world, you got dogs coming in. Look at that. It's Jane. You've got a world where if you retweeted someone, you could be held to a defamation standard. Madness, I tell you. Now, the other part of this that was kind of inadvertently hilarious, of course, is that Mike Flynn has marketed QAnon gear. Mike Flynn has marketed QAnon t-shirts and attended conferences where he talks about the where we go one, we go all, QAnon oath, and all this garbage, right?
Where we go one, we go all.
So, again, imagine that world where a retweet would get you in that kind of hot water. We knew from the beginning that this was just lawfare. Now, I'm not the only person that he's done this to. A lot of people, Nicole Wallace, Andrew Weissman, CNN, NBC, Fred Wellman, this guy Jim Stewartson, these guys use this law firm, which has made a ton of money from Trump world, by the way. If you look at their FEC reports, the Binnall Law Firm is one of the largest recipients of Trump legal spending in the last election cycle. And look, the whole purpose of terrorism is to terrorize, and the whole purpose of lawfare is to terrorize. And you know what? I'm a tough guy. I understand the world very clearly, and I don't shut up in the face of evil and oppression and assholes. I will tell you, though, when you got $10 million hanging over your head, it sure wakes you up in the morning. And I paid those legal fees every month for the last year and a half. And it's a lot of money. It's many, many digits, many, many zeros, six figures of zeros, a lot of money. Okay. It was worth it. Now, the court came back, the Second District Court of Appeals came back yesterday. And ironically, once again, the free speech party that believes everyone should be able to say whatever the fuck they want suddenly gets very delicate when it comes to these legal cases where they suddenly act as if, oh my God, this tweet has had such a massive impact. Guys, the lawfare they're exercising against Fred Wellman and me and NBC and CNN and Nicole Wallace, Andrew Weissman, all these people, and the list is enormous, by the way. I don't even have the whole list. It's in state courts, it's in federal courts, it's all these places. They're going to keep losing. I'll tell you why. Almost every single one of these cases of defamation pretends like Mike Flynn is some random retired lieutenant general and not a guy who was fired from the White House because he lied to the FBI about his contacts with foreign governments. It pretends that Mike Flynn isn't a guy who is out there on January 6th at these various Stop the Steal events. It acts like Mike Flynn is a guy who isn't part of this enormous Christian nationalist movement out in the country that has increasingly adopted this whole rod of iron rhetoric.
So we have physical, we have emotional, and we have intellectual. But the most important, and it surrounds all of them, is this idea of spiritual warfare. This is spiritual warfare.
Now, look, I do love myself some guns and I love myself some biblical history, but I missed the part in the Bible where they talked about that guns were a part of the liturgy. But long story short, these guys act like they are these innocent lambs who have somehow been brutally and viciously attacked by people. And it's called speech. You don't have to like it. You don't have to think it's fair. You don't have to love it. You don't have to believe that I'm a nice guy. Because, you know, folks, I'm not always a nice guy. I want to read you a piece of this so that it's clear just how much the court in Florida got it right. Because what you're seeing from Flynn and Banal and Cash Patel and Trump and these other folks who are trying to deploy lawfare against critics, what you're seeing is their vision of the future. They want to make it impossible to criticize them. They want to make it fraught with penalties to criticize them. But I want to read you this section from the record. Finally, on summary judgment, with Flynn submitting no counter affidavits, we find no error in the trial court's determination that Flynn's lawsuit against Wilson lacked merit and that it was brought primarily because of Wilson's exercise of his First Amendment rights. We have the privilege of living in a country with a, quote, profound national commitment to the principle that debate on public issues should be uninhibited, robust, and wide open, and that it may well include vehement, caustic, and sometimes unpleasantly sharp attacks, Sullivan 376, U.S. 270. Like it or not, such attacks are a characteristic feature of our democracy. Regardless of the political persuasion of the speaker, and regardless of the political persuasion of the public figure on the receiving end of that speech. As the trial court noted, Wilson's tweets may not have been polite, and they may not have been fair, but the First Amendment required neither, and so we affirm. I have to tell you, reading that, I felt good for myself, legitimately. We've been through a lot of stress on this, a lot of bullshit on this. It's been painful. It's been a stressful thing. And this is why they did it, by the way. This is why they timed it to run into the election season, so that I would be facing this maximally stressful external pressure. But I actually came away happier in this, in a strange way, that they defended the Constitution so robustly. They defended the right to free speech so robustly. They went at this in a way that clearly communicated that the lower court was correct on the First Amendment issues, on the freedom of speech issues, that the ability of people like me to criticize people like him, and frankly, of people like him to criticize people like me, should be uninhibited. Unlike a lot of current MAGA folks who call themselves conservatives but are not, I revere the Constitution. I revere it for its enormous protections of God-given rights. I revere it even for its flaws and its complications. I revere it because as broken and as flawed as our origin story as a country is, that Constitution has protected the rights of Americans for 250 years. One of those fundamental rights, one of those first among equals rights, is, of course, free speech. Now, again, for all these folks on the right, I'm a free speech absolutist. I want to say what I want to say. Guys, just being able to say the N-word on Twitter does not make you a free speech absolutist. Just saying on Twitter that Hitler fellow had some good ideas does not make you a free speech absolutist. Free speech absolutism means that you embrace the ability of people to speak, especially when those things are substantively true. Now, if I had called Mike Flynn a cannibal pedophile and knew it was false, he would have had grounds. But instead, I called him a Putin employee. He had been one. I engaged in rhetorical speech. I engaged in protected political speech. Look, every day on Twitter, I have people calling me a traitor, a pedophile, a criminal, a grifter, all this shit. None of it's true. Not one bit of it's true. They know it, and they're acting from malice. Now, could I go out and sue these people? I suppose I could. It would take years and years and years. Most of them don't have a goddamn thing for me to take from them financially. Okay? Someday I probably will. We'll see. But I would be basing it on an attack that was unfair, untrue, and unsubstantive. The critiques of Mike Flynn that are being made out there by me and many others that have upset him so much are based on Flynn's actions and words and deeds and character and behavior. We've provided the court with thousands of pages of background material for judicial notice on Flynn. If you want to look it up, I'll post a link later. But it is an enlightening exercise to go through and read that I wasn't even making the strongest possible case. And Flynn never once submitted an affidavit defending the substance of my claims. It was all about how bad he feels and all about how angry he was and all these things, about how much quote-unquote damage had been done to him. You're going to see more of this in the coming years. You're going to see more of this both on the private sector side, as they've been doing with Flynn and Kash Patel and others, Don Jr., and you're going to see it in the government side. You're going to see the government, especially of Kash Patel. Hey, thanks, Chris Wray, for ducking out early, making it more likely Kash Patel will be named as FBI director. You're going to see this from the official government side, where the White House and agencies and the Department of Justice and the FBI are directed at targets of the administration and of Trump. We have to live with that. We have to be brave about these things. You know, one of the things that I had, you know, I had great support from my family and great support from folks who knew about this, and I had a phenomenal, astounding, world-class legal team on this. But you can't think that they won't try this strategy at a greater scale once they're in charge of the government. The lawfare is always projection. They're always projecting that when they say X and it's a critique, that's what they're doing. When they say they're weaponizing the government, that's what they're doing. When they say it's lawfare against, that's what they're doing. So again, you can beat it. You have to be strong. You have to understand the psychological aspect of what they're trying to do to you. You have to fight it every day. You have to be up every day and say, nope, I'm not going to let this get me down. I'm not going to let this F with me. I'm going to get up. I'm going to keep punching. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep going forward. That's all we can do. It's our duty as Americans to do that. It's our duty
as Americans to keep in that fight. And as I said, I love the Constitution of this country. Call me a geek, call me a nerd, call me, you know, an old guard conservative, but I believe the Constitution is a sacred document in this country. I believe that the rights, that the God-given rights that the Constitution protects are so fundamental that impinging on those rights and infringing those rights, and I believe this across the board constitutionally, by the way, that once you go down that slope where you start to restrict them for your political enemies, and then you start to restrict them for your political critics, and then you start to restrict them for people you don't trust, and then you start to restrict them for everybody who isn't part of your party or everybody who isn't part of your immediate circle, that's a dangerous thing, and it doesn't look like America when you're done with it. Protecting the right to free speech is the most fundamental of rights. Political speech is the most fundamentally protected speech of all in this country. We were founded on the principles that we would not have a state religion and that we would not have control by the government over the rights of individuals to speak. Those rights do have boundaries. They do have some protections in them for people who cause harm deliberately and who lie. But in this case, what hurt Flynn was the fact that I stated the truth and that I retweeted someone else. That's a pretty thin reed to rest a case like this on, and that's why he lost. And look, will he appeal it? He might appeal it. He might go to the Florida State Supreme Court. He might give it a try. But at that point, he's trying to argue the constitutionality of the decisions of the courts, not a really a fight with me. And if it ever went to discovery in a courtroom and it was a jury trial, I can assure you the discovery we would seek would be so broad and so devastating and so widespread that no one in Trump world would welcome that development. But look, once again, I'm delighted that we won this case. I'm delighted that this, for now, this phase of their attack has ended. It is a big burden on you, no matter how strong you are, no matter how much you know about things. In terms of the possibilities, it feels good, man. Got to say it. And I, you know, it's a good way to go into the Christmas holiday. It's a good way to go into what's ahead of us. You know, it's going to be a long fight. We're going to have to stay in that fight. I'm staying in that fight. Lincoln is staying in that fight. You know, for all the critics on the left and the right who don't like the way we approach things sometimes, they, you're too much pirates. You're too much in your face. If you don't understand that when oppression and autocracy comes at you, there's only one place to be, and that's in their face. Folks, that's the elephant in the room. Hey, folks, one more thing. You can follow me on Blue Sky, the Rick Wilson, .bsky, whatever, .social. I'm always the Rick Wilson on the socials. Here's the rank order of social media platforms that I'm on these days. I'm on Blue Sky. I'm on Threads. I'm on Instagram. I would rather hit myself in the head with a hammer than be on Twitter. I do appear there periodically just to throw some meat into the water so that the MAGA sharks chum themselves into a frenzy. But you can also follow my Substack at The Rick Wilson. You know, easy branding, right? I'm also on the Enemies List podcast. And I join Molly Jong Fast once a week on Fast Politics. So I have a lot of podcasting to do every week. And I want to wish everybody a very good holiday season, a very Merry Christmas. Enjoy yourselves. Be good to yourselves. Be good to your families. I'll talk to you again next time.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joseph Werner-Cheney. Produced and edited by Whitney Hayes and Jeff Taylor.
And good luck.
Hey, everybody. If you would like to get in touch, if you have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just general questions, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. That's podcast@lincolnproject.us.